Anywhere in the whole world. Have you ever dreamed about starting a business? Then this show is dedicated to you and for you. The show is for entrepreneurs, dreamers, investors, techies, and non-techies. Anyone and everyone that has a dream.
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhooliye, har Saturday, dopahar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon.
जो भी चाहो वो मैं पाऊं जिंदगी में जीते जाऊं चांद तारे तोड़ लाऊं सारी दुनिया पर मैं छाऊं बस इतना सा ख्वाब है बस इतना सा
Sapne Salamat, doston. Sapne Salamat. Welcome back to another episode of Sapne Salamat. It is Saturday. It is noon. It is time to follow your dreams. So as you know by now, this is a show that's dedicated to anyone with a dream. This is a show for entrepreneurs, for dreamers, for investors, for technical people and non-technical people. Anyone and everyone that has a dream. We are on every Saturday at noon. And as you know by now, this is a non-commercial show. So no money has been paid and no money has been received for anybody to make an appearance on this show. The show is created with a singular goal to promote entrepreneurship and help you realize your dreams. So think of this show as a helpline for startups, if you will. And we do get a lot of requests for mentoring. So folks, please call in and ask questions on the air. Phone number to the studios is going to be 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. We won't ask you to disclose confidential information, obviously. And I think if you have questions, feel free to reach out because we have built an ecosystem. We have been connecting folks. We've been getting all kinds of interesting reach outs. If you have questions, again, 408-912-KLOK. In the past, we've done several different shows where we've talked about lots of different things. We've talked about how to raise money. We've did the anatomy of a startup. We talked about viral marketing. We also talked about how to create buzz for your company. So we've had a whole bunch of celebrity guests, serial entrepreneurs, professors of entrepreneurships, and more. In fact, in the next month itself, we've got a fantastic lineup of speakers coming up. We have two VCs coming up the next month itself. We've got a gentleman that started a venture fund. So he's actually the founder, not just the general partner, but the founder of the venture fund. I think it's about a $600 million fund, if memory serves me correctly. So he'll be on in a couple of weeks. And then we've got another marquee VC fund general partner coming on another couple of weeks after that. So if you guys have questions around venture capital, which we know has been a sort of recurring theme on the show, feel free to call in on those shows. We've got an intellectual property attorney coming up. So that's also been an interesting subject matter that sort of keeps cropping up where people talk about the fact that, you know, I have an idea, I want to patent my idea. And we always tell people that ideas are not patentable. It's methodologies that are patentable. But we learn more from the masters, the people that do this for a living and do this day in and day out and are really good at this. So we're going to be having him coming on the show in, I guess, a few weeks at this point. We've got also have a very interesting guest coming on the show today. And he'll be joining us in the studios in a few minutes. He has a very interesting and diverse background. And we'll talk to him about how he did, what he did, why he did, and we'll give you an opportunity to ask him various things that he's done in his life and sort of how it got him to that point. But it's an interesting guest. So my guest's name is Dilip Venkatachari. Dilip has been a serial entrepreneur. He's done three startups and he's sort of gone in almost a reverse chronological order or almost jump around, if you will, because what he's done is he did a startup in the 90s. And then he went and did another startup, and then he went and did another startup. And then he did something very interesting where he went and started working for some of the big companies in the Silicon Valley, especially in the web space. So he's worked at Skype. He's worked, but at PayPal. He's worked at Google and he's worked at Yahoo. And he's now back to being running a young startup. So it'd be an interesting conversation. And Dilip will be joining us in a few minutes. In the meantime, I also wanted to talk to you about a couple of other things that we've talked about in the past and some we haven't. So first and foremost, folks, it is tax season. And I know a lot of you guys are thinking taxes. So please support the sponsors of the show. Prashar CPA, the excellent people. The Venu Prashar is a good CPA. You'll hear more about her at some point in the show. But definitely tax time. I think that's one of the things you can do to support the show. And we are also always looking to have interesting guests come on the show. But before I get into any more or too much of that, I want to welcome Dilip into the studio. So Dilip, welcome to the studios.
Thank you, Rohit. Very glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, really appreciate you coming out on a Saturday afternoon, leaving friends and family behind to talk to my listeners.
Anytime.
So you have a very interesting background. You did a company called CommerceSoft in the late 90s or mid-90s. When was that?
96, 97.
And you did that for about a year and a half?
Actually, about a couple of years, and then we had it acquired by a call center vendor Aspect, and then we kind of, I was there for another 2 years after that.
Lovely. And then you followed that up with yet another startup, which was called iSelect, right?
Absolutely. We were trying to serve every gardener and small business person with the internet way before they had the internet.
Yeah.
Great timing.
Actually, that's when how we first met. That was an interesting story right there. I think it's worth mentioning how we met first. So I was running my, I guess, first product company called Ecode back, this is what, 98, maybe 99? I think 97, 98 is probably more like it. And you had just sold CommerceSoft, and we had a mutual friend called Bala. And I was looking to raise some money, and I came to pitch to you in your house. I think it was like, what, 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night or something. Late night, Bala and I came in to sort of...
That's right.
And Bala, of course, went on to become a founder at Snapfish, which I guess he's done very well for himself on that front. So that was iSelect, and then that was a sort of an experiment, from what I understand. You didn't pursue that very far.
No, not really. We figured that the folks that we were targeting didn't really have internet access, and we tried everything else possible. But till Comcast and AT&T, brought internet home,
yeah,
we figured we'd wait it out.
Yeah. Okay. And so then what happens?
So in the inevitable search for saying what's the next big thing and the next new thing, two of us joined together and decided to start a company that helps consumers better move money and open accounts online, a company called Cash Edge, which now, looking back in time, is now, many years later, the one of the larger players in the industry.
Fantastic. So you did that for a couple of years again, and you sold that company. So you started it, sold it, raised some money along the way.
Raised a lot of money along the way. We raised about $50 million from...
50. Interesting.
This was after the bubble burst, so it was quite a trying time to raise money.
All right, so we'll try and tap a little bit into that war chest of stories from raising $50 million and see if you have some interesting nuggets to share with my listeners.
I'm sure.
And so after having done three startups, you now go out and join the big boys in the valley.
Exactly. So decided, having done startups for a while, decided to go to PayPal.
Yeah.
And basically, went there and manage all of the risk and fraud and related areas. And what's interesting is large companies, particularly the Bay Area large companies like eBay and PayPal, tend to be actually larger versions of small companies, unlike more traditional, potentially kind of large industrial corporations. So it's like bigger startups, and they actually go at this almost the same speed. Very interesting kind of differences.
Yeah. I've sort of been so consumed in the startup world for the last, 15 years that I've really forgotten what it is like to work for a large corporation and certainly a large startup. So elaborate a bit more, because I do hear this and everybody says, Google is a 10,000-person startup. I'm like, how can you be a startup with 10,000 people?
See, Google is very, very interesting in the sense, even though it's got, 10, 20,000 people,
right?
It's almost like 10,000 one-person startups, almost. I mean, in fact, really, to be serious, it's probably more like 50 or 100 little teams in there.
Yeah.
They're all their own little startups working reasonably independent of each other and still going towards kind of a common overall starting the overall resources and everything.
And you're
pretty fascinating.
And you also worked at Yahoo right around the same time, or right after Google, right?
Right.
And what were the differences there?
Very different cultures. Yahoo, every company has its own way of doing things. Kind of the big differences are... you almost have extremes. Google is very technology focused. Everything, the most important thing internally in decisions and everything that people make are all about technology and engineering.
Uh-huh.
PayPal is literally kind of the other end, which is you make decisions based on what is right for the business. What makes you more money, less money.
Okay.
Because effectively, those are kind of running businesses where you do better by doing better, making better business judgments, not necessarily better technology. Yahoo is somewhere in the middle. It's got a combination of some technical interests and kind of a lot of business interests. Now, you essentially are running a big newspaper, a giant newspaper, and you're trying to kind of figure out how to serve more ads and make the most out of people who are visiting.
Okay. Right. Okay. So I don't want to get too bogged down into the corporate stuff. So now what are you up to?
This is basically a very interesting company. The company I'm with now is Compass Labs. It is a very interesting company which brings together, I think, a combination of social media and e-commerce in a very interesting manner. So it's kind of in stealth mode right now, so I can't share a whole lot. But what's interesting is it's coming out with new ways of extracting value and information from kind of just the deluge of information that's in the social media.
Okay, okay. And this is a company you started?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
Back to it again.
Yeah. So I want to explore this whole idea a little bit more because I don't see too many entrepreneurs that do one company, two company, three companies, and then go out and join a big corporation, and then corporation two, and then corporation three, and then say, wait a minute, what am I doing here? I'm back to the startup world. So how does that work?
See, I think it's actually one of the valley issues, which is after you work in a startup and you try, when I finished doing a couple of startups, I said, let me go try out working in a large company.
Yeah.
Very different, a lot more resources, and you can actually, hopefully get a lot more done. So along the way, what you realize is that's fun. You can get a lot of things done.
Yeah.
But it's always much more effective, much more interesting to, take something that you can control a lot more and actually build something from the kind of the ground up. So you kind of learn a lot about what you enjoy the most, I think, along the way.
Yeah.
And, some people just enjoy building things. Some people enjoy taking things that are already built and taking it to the next level. Yeah. And so that's, partly kind of what you kind of learn. The interesting aspect, I think, about, the companies here in the Bay Area in particular is you can go back and forth between these two worlds, fairly easily.
Is that right? Do you see that fairly commonly?
Actually, I think it's increasing, partly because the large companies like Google and with Yahoo's kind of transitions and, all the things that we read about, you see a lot more people, being effectively saying, no, I should go out and do something else. The economy's terrible. I need to have more control over my destiny. And so startups really are the way to do that.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So let's sort of do a little bit of jumping around, if you will. And I want to go back all the way to the beginning and say, who is Dilip? Where do you come from, Dilip? Where were you born? How did you get to where you are?
I don't know how I got to where I was, but I'll handle the little one first, which is I was born in India, in Madras.
Madras, vanakkam, huh?
Yes, vanakkam, totally. And basically, I went to school in Bombay and Bangalore, and did my undergraduate at Madras IIT,
okay.
And then came over here after that.
And you went to grad school here?
Grad school here at Rice, and then at Harvard, and then rest of the time in Northern California.
Yeah. So Rice, what did you do?
I did my master's in computer science.
Okay. So computer science was your major in your undergrad as well?
Yes, WECS.
WECS, okay. And
I had a chance to, after Rice actually work in probably one of the earlier Silicon Valley startups here, a company called Roam, which very few people here may still remember. It's taught me a lot of very interesting things about marketing and that, which is Roam was the first, they were the inventors, by the way, of voicemail. And they had a product called PhoneMail. And so it was this kind of early startup where people actually had, there was like aerobics classes in the middle of the day. You could go and play tennis. And this is perfect. And so the tagline was, it's a great place to work. Then the next one day, IBM bought the company. They changed it to a place to do great work and shut everything else down.
Interesting. Okay, good. So you came to the Valley to pick up your first job with Roam, presumably, and you worked with them for a while?
Yep, for a couple of years, and then went to business school.
And that was at HBS?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was that like? We hear all kinds of interesting things about HBS, from the good and the bad to the ugly.
It's cold. It's very cold. Going from the Bay Area to walking across the Charles River every morning,
yeah,
the freezing experience. I think that's the most interesting thing I take away.
Yeah. I mean, Harvard Business School is almost as good as it gets, if not as good as it gets, in terms of a business major, certainly. And I think I hear interesting stories about Harvard. Like, people talk about the fact that, you know, when you're applying to good schools like Harvard or GSP or what have you, there's a lot of weightage given to your family backgrounds, whether you come from an industrialist family or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always examples where people will throw in the fact that George W. Bush got into Harvard Business School because of family backgrounds as opposed to merits and credit and, you know, all of that stuff. What has been your experience there?
See, my experience, you know, it's a large campus, so I'm sure there are a few people who, you know, are going to go do things in their family's kind of industries and so want to go and get an MBA. The vast majority of the people are, you know, basically, I think people like myself who, you know, went through the normal process of, you know, going and working someplace and then, you know, deciding to go to business school.
Okay. And what is Harvard's position on this? Are they very blatant about the fact that they look at family backgrounds?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure that plays a role, but not in an overt fashion or not in something that's, you know, material. You don't see a lot of, you know, at least I never saw George Bush roaming around when I was there. But I think those kind of, if you will, celebrities who show up there, there will be those, but few and far between.
Okay. All right. Good. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and keep talking to Dilip Venkatachari, founder of three companies, worked at PayPal, Yahoo, Google, and now doing yet another startup. So we'll be right back.
Have you ever received a link to a web page in your email, or have you ever shared a web page with anyone? Stop, do not copy paste and go through all the extra effort to show them what's relevant. Why not highlight the web page before you send it or share it? Just type rohit.com before any web URL, rohit.com/google.com. Your mouse cursor instantly changes to a highlighter pen. Just select any text and see it instantly and get highlighted in color, and it automatically gets a tiny URL that will take any visitor directly to the highlights on the page. It neither requires anyone to register nor to install any software on their computers. Anyone can use it. It's free and fast, no fine print, and totally hassle-free. Try it out, rawhit.com. Rawhit.com, it is a micro-informational service that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. Rawhit then enables you to do all kinds of interesting things with those highlights. It's fast and free. No sign-up, no download. Try it out. And what have got to lose?
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
To advertise on our show or to sponsor a segment, please call 408-469-4192. So if you're looking for talent or looking to give your company exposure in the technology arena, then this is the show to advertise on. Every year, advertisers spend about $20 billion on radio advertising. So if you're looking for a show to advertise on, this is the one. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@ruhit.com or find us on the web at ruhit.com/radio. Folks, if you're looking to gain experience, this show is looking for volunteers. You'll get an opportunity to interact with fabulous people and make amazing business contacts while learning skills from the masters. Skills that will set you up for huge success in your own life. If you like our show, make sure to tell your friends to tune in on Saturdays at noon every Saturday on 1170 AM KLOK. And if you work for a company such as Oracle, Sun, Google, Microsoft, or Intel, send out a company-wide email on your Dacy email alias about our show. And now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra. Rohit is himself an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup. A visionary, he created the earliest social networking website ever called ecode.com. And he's been a day trader on NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange.
Jo bhi chaho, wo main paau. Zindagi mein jeete jaao. Chaand
आप है।
Sapne Salamat, welcome back, dosto. We are talking today with Dilip Venkatachari. Dilip is the founder of three companies. He started CommerceSoft, he started iSelect, and he's also started a company called CashEdge. And he sold CommerceSoft and he sold CashEdge out in the mid-90s and earlier in this decade. And he's since then been working with a bunch of different Valley companies. Now the CEO of a company called Compass Labs. We are talking with Dilip. And I think one of the questions I want to ask Dilip that we touched upon earlier was, you raised $50 million for this company. What does it take to raise $50 million?
A lot of traveling on planes and a lot of PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah, yeah.
We started the company most thrillingly just before the bubble was going to burst, literally 2 months before. And so.
Which is what, late 2000?
Summer of 2000.
Summer of 2000.
So it was just brilliant timing.
Yeah.
So it was just almost hell raising capital after that, after the bubble burst. So we had to raise, literally in 3-4 different rounds, we ended up raising $15 million rounds.
Let's talk about the first round, because usually that's the one that people struggle with most, and that's what a large percent of my listenership is about, is how do I raise my first round?
It's actually, the most interesting thing is to have the first round is all about promise. It's all about ideas.
Right.
It's not about what you have, because you have nothing then.
Yeah.
So you need essentially two most important things. First is 99% personal credibility. You need to know who you're talking to. They need to know you. They need to have some relationship with you. And in a positive way, of course. And the idea should be good. That's all. Rest of it doesn't really matter. No one's reading the 15-page PowerPoint presentation, because they, at that point, the bet they're making is it okay to trust you or not with the money? Because if they can trust you, you'll figure out what to do with it and it'll come back later on.
Yeah.
So it's less about, is the market $8 billion or $1 billion? Obviously, it has to be meaningful,
yeah.
But no one knows at that point. So it's all about, is this guy, it's all about the person more than anything else, whether you know someone who'll think well of you.
Well, good. That's refreshing, because I sort of share that belief. Unfortunately, I don't find too many entrepreneurs that are willing to admit that. And folks always talk about the fact that it comes down to team, and it comes down to idea, and it comes down to products, and it comes down to market size. But I think you're absolutely right. First and foremost, it comes down to saying, like, can this guy do it? Is this guy going to do it? Then it comes down to saying, okay, let's validate it and see whether I'm placing my trust in the right guy or not. So how do you feel? So you had another partner that you went out and did this with. And how
yes.
much money did you raise on your first round?
First round, we raised about, the seed funding was about $2 million.
Okay. That's a sizable number.
It's a sizable number. But in those days, I mean, it didn't buy you a lot. In late 99, people were very expensive, and you had to actually buy expensive computers, hardware, software, all of those things. Now, the same thing you can do on a cloud, on Amazon or something for a lot less.
Yeah.
And frankly, this is another fascinating thing that I didn't realize that the wage levels in Silicon Valley have either stagnated or actually even come down a little bit since 10 years ago on all practical basis. So effectively, you can hire people for the same dollar right now as you did many years ago, and the rest of your costs have come down. So the new cost of a startup right now is a lot lower than it was then.
Interesting. I'm sort of a little quiet here because I'm trying to absorb that and figure out how I want to react to that, because
just look at your paycheck.
I'm an entrepreneur. I don't even get a paycheck.
My point precisely.
So no, but I think going back 10 years, see, my read on it is, while I agree with the message that you're putting out, I disagree with the details of it. And I'll tell you where I disagree with. I'd say 10 years ago, an entry-level engineer, you could have picked up for 50, 60 grand a year. Today, I don't think you can even get an entry-level guy for less than 70, 80 in the Valley. And maybe my numbers are off, and you can correct me or whatever. Number two difference that I see is the fact that even when you're talking about somebody in mid-level management, like a director-level guy wants to make over 150 today in terms of his cash or base. This is sort of my read of the market, if you will. Going back 10 years ago, a director-level person would be happy with 110 or 120 base and say, you know what, I'm going to take the rest in equity. So people have got a little bit jaded from that perspective.
You're right. I think one of the big changes really is that people are a little bit more comfortable and more realistic now.
Yeah.
And so even though their real eventual salaries may be a lot higher, when it comes to a seed stage, which is kind of the one I was talking about,
right?
People are a lot more willing to say, okay, I'll get two-thirds of a you know, what you would at full time. And so there's a lot more realism in the compensation expectation. So for a small team of like 8 to 10 people,
yeah,
you can basically get by pretty much about the same levels as before. The other important part is you don't hire a lot of people like systems administrators and all
correct.
Of those things that you used to do then.
That's exactly right. That's exactly where I was going with this. But in terms of manpower cost may not be, but the amount of resources that you need, that's significantly cheaper. Yeah. Because I think going back into the good old Microsoft days of SQL Server and ASP,
that's right.
You required some serious heavy-duty computing and you required some serious administration.
That's right.
And you know, you had to tweak your databases constantly. Now in the world of MySQL, there's very little database tweaking, tuning.
And there's no email systems. You go get free Gmail.
Yes, I guess you could do that too. But no, but all of these things have fairly mature technologies and they've all sort of settled down fairly nicely. So that's the good news. And of course, there's the cloud out there where you can always turn the dial up or down. Back in the day, you had to sort of work on capacity and say, what if I got a spike? And I think we used to call it the ./, what was it? The ./ effect is what you used to call it back
then? That's right. And one very funny thing, you know, previously everyone, you know, I remember buying a PBX or a Centrex for our office.
Yes.
These expensive things. Yeah. Now everybody's got a cell phone.
Yeah.
So you have one line in the office and everyone uses a cell phone most of the time. So it's very fascinating how some of these things have changed.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Okay, good. All right, I'm going to start opening up the phone lines at this point. Phone number to studios is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. We are talking about how to raise your first round with Dilip Venkatachari. So you raised $50 million, and so $2 million was this angel money, venture money?
Mainly venture money. So that was all of the investors were professional investors. And so they came on subsequently for Series A and Series B and so on.
Yeah. Wouldn't you call angels as professional investors?
They're super professional, of course.
Actually, they come in both kinds. You get professional investors as angels and you get individuals. One of the other areas I wanted to touch upon is, you know, a lot of young entrepreneurs will reach out. They say, I don't know anybody. And everybody says, your first round is friends and family. And I sort of want to almost shatter that myth to a little bit, to an extent, to say that, you know, it's not really friends and family. It's basically friends of friends and of friends, of people that you can somehow go out and reach out and touch to. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I think very few people, when they're starting out, have rich friends or rich people that are going to be willing to invest.
Right.
And so that's really a misnomer to be calling it friends and family.
Right. And you don't want to be asking 50 of your friends for $10,000 a pop. It won't really be too much effort. Can't really do anything with that.
You think?
Absolutely. The amount of time, you know, as it takes so much time to raise money from investors. The last thing you want to be doing is doing it 50 times over. That's my only fear.
What about 100 times over?
That can be a business itself, you know?
Yeah, because I was actually having a conversation with just somebody a couple of weeks ago. It's funny we stumbled upon this, but that's exactly what I said. Like, you know what? Get 200 people to write checks for $5,000 a pop. At $5,000 a pop, it's not going to bother anybody too much.
That's right.
People will look at an idea and say, you know what? If this becomes the next Google, my $5,000 suddenly worth $5 million. If it doesn't, it really hasn't affected my lifestyle. So it's sort of a microfinance model for startups.
That's right. You got a business idea there. Right?
So what do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a couple of calls on hold. So we're going to see what these guys have to say. If they have questions, comments, I'm going to take this live on air. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, this is Monisha. I was wondering, how has
Monisha,
your
Sapne Salamat.
Hi.
Sapne Salamat, Monisha.
Hi. I was wondering, how has your training at HBS helped you?
Well, it's a pretty interesting question. I think most interestingly, what it did was make me aware of kind of what to do next more than anything else and think through kind of, you know, what the issues are. There's also a very important aspect, which is education is all about also networking and friends. So in some respects, what you find is you find a lot of people that you deal with later on, or your former, you know, classmates, colleagues, or people that they know. So it's a combination of both some knowledge and some kind of network effect.
So would you say my choice of college greatly affects what I'm going to do in the future?
Absolutely. Highly recommend it.
Monisha, are you thinking of going to school in the near future?
I am, actually. I'm his daughter.
Oh, you are. Okay. That was a setup, huh? So... Well, good. Then you can ask the master the question at home.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you for calling. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Shabnam Salamat, Rohit. I have a question for Dilip.
Yes, please. What's your name, caller?
Hey, this is Manali.
Yes, Manali. Fire away.
So, Dilip, I actually have known Kashish and heard your name for years. I know when you joined PayPal, etc., and I always had one question for not just you, but all the entrepreneurs who raise millions of dollars. What's in it for you? How much did you end up cashing out? What would you say working for a big company versus working for a small company and starting the company? Where is the ROI?
So, let me understand. I'm sure you're not trying to get my 1040 details, but I guess what your question is really is a small company a better return, or is a large company a better? Is that kind of a good?
Exactly, because you work for both. Right. You have worked for both of them so far.
See, I think they're very different. See, this, in terms of you can measure ROI two ways. If you measure ROI strictly in terms of money that you make, small companies always give you better returns. If you measure it in terms of experience also, then I think it's a wash. Depends really on the situation. For example, both PayPal and put Google in that mix were basically extremely rich experiences. And so I think what came out of that was very helpful, was made up for, if you will, not the startup kind of money.
Does that prepare you to take your startup to a next level and make it bigger?
I think so. I think it does more than that. There are two things that it helps. First, it helps you figure out what else happens when you grow things, and also gives you a sense of, in a startup, you're hurrying. It's almost like you're running sprints every day. You're not running a marathon. You're running 26, 1K races every time. But when you're in a larger company, you get to see what the 15th mile and the 17th mile and all that is. So you have a little bit of preparation for the future, and that's very helpful.
Great. I hope that answers your question, Manali.
No, I'm not
go ahead,
done.
Go ahead.
Can I take one more minute?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. So I would try to understand, when you try to go to the VCs and try raising these funds, is it better to go to them when you're young and you have a bright idea, or is it better to go and talk to them when you are ready to take this company to the next level and you have collected that set of skill set after working for a big company?
See, I would talk earlier and talk often, and I'll tell you why. It's not that you're going to raise the money the first time around. When you talk to people, you're not always trying to raise money, you're always also trying to get information. You're trying to get people to give you feedback and say what works, what doesn't work, who else is doing what you're doing, or who else could help you out. So I would definitely go out, talk to VCs that you know or that people refer you to, and over time you'll get to kind of the right folks. And you're meaning it's not just money is all I'm saying.
That's a great answer, and thank you so much.
All right, thank you
for
calling.
Good seeing you, Manon.
Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi. You guys have an interesting Sapna Salamat, first of all.
Thank you, sir.
You have an interesting topic today, and kudos to the guest. He's been giving some wonderful information today. I have a couple of questions and a comment to make.
Yes,
can I go ahead?
Yes, please go ahead. Call her give me your name first.
My name is Sanjay.
Sanjay, go ahead.
So my first question was, when you are actually, I'm NFOB kind of thing in venture funding, so I don't know much about it. I'm trying to research before I actually jump into the water. So my first question was, if you are actually trying to raise any venture funding, right, so when you actually make your case to any investment firm, what kind of development do they expect before you make? For example, do you have to give them a proof of concept or a prototype? To what level the application should be developed?
It depends on what areas you're on. So
Yeah, I think it's completely variable. It depends on what industry, depends on what segment, depends on what team, depends on what idea. In fact, when I hear questions like that, I always tell callers, say, first and foremost, go and find somebody that's done this before. Get an advisor. An advisor is a guy who's going to show you exactly how to jump through the hoops and how to go through this entire process.
Right. So,
So basically what that will do is somebody will sit down with you one-on-one and look at your particular idea and your particular space and tell you exactly what his opinion in terms of how you should approach it. And he will also go out and make the introductions to you with folks that can help you or with folks that can connect you with other folks.
And what Rohit is saying is basically there's no single answer. And for example, if you have this next new great battery technology, you're not expected to have the actual battery working. You may do it in a lab. And just the fact that you did research on it for 5 years itself is a good starting point. On the other hand, you have this new web social networking site. That's a very different thing totally, because then you'll not only have to have it working, you'll have to show that you have people actually use it and like it and all of that. So it varies depending upon what the base product or service you have is.
Right.
So basically, the reason of my question was like, how important is it for the investment firms? What will be the time to market the product? So that was where I was going to. There might be certain investment firms who would like to go ahead and do the marketing of the product in a year and get done with it. So that was where I was going.
I think I understand what your question is, and I think I understand where you're coming from, Sanjoy, but I think you need to sort of think about it like they're saying that you're calling somebody and saying, what kind of girl should I marry? And it comes down to very subjective factors that you sort of go in and say, look at what are the things that are important to you, what are the things that are going to be important to her. Now, there are going to be some girls that you're going to meet that are going to be very career-oriented. They're looking to marry a rich guy. There's some girls that are going to be looking to marry a nice guy. And similarly, it works for VCs that... They come in different flavors. At the end of the day, everybody has one objective, which is financial success. But you sort of have to figure out where your two will match up in interests.
Right. The other question that I had was like for a fresh entrepreneur, what is the best way to get into a service-based industry? If you are actually thinking of getting projects and then going about it instead of just developing a product and going instead of getting into a service-based industry where you get sub projects from companies or big firms, what is the best way for a fresh entrepreneur to actually get into that?
Sure. So I think you sort of have to go and look what you can do and what it is you're looking to do. And I can speak to that because I have run a services company in the past and I have run a product company in the past. And what I found in the services company was the cash flow is excellent. As long as you keep executing, it's great. But it's a little harder to scale. And most importantly, it lacks a multiple. So you'll make $1 million, $2 million and you feel great about it because you've got fantastic cash flow. In a product business, from my experiences, you can make 100, 200 million if you do it right, or maybe 10, 20 million or whatever sort of floats your boat. But there's a much bigger multiple on it. And for me personally, it's not so much the multiple, it's also this whole idea of being able to go out and touch other people's lives and create a product that has an effect that goes on and touches millions of people.
Right. And I think it's also the starting point. I think you should have a good sense of what the problem you're solving is. So I think before you can go there, you'll have to know something that you're solving. You're making it someone's time worth it. Mm-hmm. And that's when you'll know kind of where you're going to make money. Once you have that, then it makes sense to go back and pitch them and say, here's how much I'll charge you for the services for what you need.
Yeah.
So what is the need? What is the kind of the problem that you're going to solve?
And why is it you yourself doing it? Are you doing it for the money? Are you doing it for other reasons? Because I think we did another show where we talked about the reasons for entrepreneurship. And money is just one of the factors in there.
Exactly. Money is definitely a factor in there. But to tell you frankly, I personally believe, when you are actually starting out your own product-based firm or when you are actually... what I personally believe, you should not jump into ocean before jumping into your local pond. So what I see is if you have some experience of running your own company and getting projects by yourself, then
developing. नहीं यार ये तो ये बात हो गई कि मैं पहले डेट करूँगा उसके बाद शादी करूँगा कोई बोलता है कि नहीं मैं तो डायरेक्टली शादी करूँगा.
वही बात ना तो उस बात नहीं कि पहले डेट करके शादी करो तो तुम्हें पता होगा पानी कितना ठंडा है क्या है.
So anyways, hey, I have a bunch of calls on hold, but I appreciate your call very much. And
one last comment, if then that's okay.
Yeah.
You raised the point of where the new startups can save money. Just to add, you did not touch the point of getting interns, which is a very good point.
Okay.
I just wanted to know that.
Correct. That's the other part of it. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Great. Sanjoy, thank you for your call. Keep listening.
Yeah.
Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi. First of all, thanks to Rohit for bringing such a great show on air.
Thank you, sir. Sapne Salamat, can I have your name, please?
Yeah, this is Mayuresh here.
Yes, Mayuresh, please go ahead.
Yeah, so this question is for Dilip. So as I understand, I mean, when you approach the venture capitalists for raising your funds, as Dilip mentioned, rather than your idea or the market share or where your solution is fitting, it's more important, I mean, mostly the venture capitalists look for your ability to execute things and your team. So do they necessarily go on your paper background, your past experience, or what are general things they look at to basically verify your ability to execute things and how solid the team is?
It's exactly what you said, which is, you know, you should have been in that space which you're talking about or have some demonstrated experience that people can point to. They'll do a lot of diligence checks. They'll talk to people you worked with. They'll talk to, you know, your former colleagues, bosses, peers, all of the above, and, you know, get a sense of, you know, your capability. And likewise for the rest of the team. And so ultimately, once you get past the point, then things like, you know, how big is the idea? What can you do with it? How much money do you need? What are the risks? And how do you take out the risks? What are the various milestones? All of those things come up next.
So as I understand, I mean, you know, it really doesn't matter how bright idea do you have. It matters whether you can take the things forward and execute. Is that right?
Yes, except of course the idea itself has to be good.
Yeah,
You know, it doesn't mean that if you're doing the same thing that 50 other people have done, that it makes sense.
Yeah.
But you know, all things being equal, because there are lots of excellent, you know, phenomenal ideas, kind of the ones that will make the cut, you know, once all the ideas are good, is basically the folks, the right teams. And that's kind of the starting point for discussion, because the belief is if you have a good team, more likely than not, the people are not going to be spending their time chasing down something that doesn't make sense at all.
So let's say if you have an idea in an entirely new space and which you really don't have direct experience with, but you understand the domain well and you have some other expertise of executing things and have some bright idea, it's better to work out first in-house and take it to some level before approaching the venture capitalist. Is that right?
Possibly. Don't know. It depends totally. I think it's got little to do with how much work needs to be done. It's basically what is the right thing for that stage. Right? Again, if it's something that's very capital intensive, and you can't do it without putting a lot of money behind it, even to get it past the first door, then you have to go and raise money for, you know, right at the beginning. So it totally depends on the nature of the industry.
Okay. Thanks a lot. So I have one more question. This is a quick question. So what is your perspective on the startup industry in India? What are the things that venture capitalists are looking for in India, where the money is going?
See, India tends to be somewhat more of a difficult market, mainly because the whole space is not that well developed. You know, startups are much higher risk. There's actually a lot of early stage capital there. In fact, many of the VCs here have moved to India and set up operations there, doing very similar things. The trick there is you just need the information base is not that much there, and entrepreneurs, you know, as they gradually begin taking risk, then that market will develop it.
Yeah, I think I have a slight variation on that, because I think in the Indian market, there is this sort of what I'm going to call the angel money or the seed money. But the problem is to go from the angel to the A round to the A to the B round, because a lot of the VCs that I know of have gone to India, but either they're not doing deals or they're doing late stage deals. So I think it's harder for a young company to go make that transition from being an early stage to the next level, one. And two, it's also a social issue when an entrepreneur starts a company, builds it, takes it to a certain level, and they sort of get into their comfort zone. Right. And they're not willing to give up more pieces of the equity and more ownership. There's a whole control issue. So I think there's a couple of different, more than a couple of different variables at play. But it's a different story. It's a different market, I think, especially from a venture capital perspective and fundraising perspective.
Yeah, I agree. It's slowly developing, but it's got a little bit of way to go there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling. We're taking calls live on 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. We're going to take a break and come right back and start talking about this.
Do you ever search for anything on the internet? Ever use Google or Yahoo? Typically, you will go through several pages to find the information you seek, and it's only parts of a page that are relevant to you, not the entire page. So why not just highlight the most relevant points? Everything you highlight is automatically clipped and saved for you, and the underlying pages are saved too, really. And don't worry, at RuHit.com, we magically do all this without ever asking you to fill out a form or register for our service, and we certainly don't ask you to pay for anything. So automatically save everything relevant to you forever. RuHit.com is a micro-information professional service that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. Rootkit then enables you to do all kinds of interesting things with those highlights. It's fast and it's free. No sign up, no download. Try it out. What have got to lose?
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting and tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
To advertise on our show or to sponsor a segment, please call 408-469-4192. Unlike the Bollywood music shows that are playing in the background, this is a talk show that's being listened to by a fully engaged audience. Folks, advertisers spend about $20 billion on a radio advertising every year. So if you're looking for talent or looking to give your company exposure in the technology area, then this is the show to advertise on. Get more bang for your advertising bucks. You can also email us at radio@roothit.com. Find us on the web at roothit.com/radio. And if you like it, sure, make sure to tell your friends to tune in Saturdays at noon, every Saturday at on 1170 a.m. If you work for a company such as Oracle, Sun, Google, Microsoft, Intel, etc., please send out a company-wide email on your DAISY email alias about our show. And now, folks, if you're looking to gain experience, this show is looking for volunteers. You'll get an opportunity to interact with fabulous people and make amazing business contracts while learning skills from the masters, skills that will set you for huge success in your own life.
All right, and now back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra. Rohit is himself an active entrepreneur working on a Web 2.0 startup. He's always looking for good people and good ideas. If you have a good idea that you're committed to, please do get in touch with him. Something you may not know about Rohit is that he took 5 years off his life to travel, traveling to about 50 countries just for fun.
Jo bhi chaho, wo main paau. Zindagi mein jeete jaao. Tare tode lao sari duniya par main chahu bas itna sa khwab hai.
Sapne salamat, welcome back doston. Sapne salamat. You know, oftentimes people sort of find it peculiar and ask me to explain what is the story behind sapne salamat. It's actually very, very simple. I believe the first step towards achieving any goal is to dream. And it's only the pursuit of those dreams that will drive you to success. So, apne sapno ko kahin khone na de, inhe sambhal ke rakhein, inhe salamat rakhein. And we are talking today with Dilip Venkatachari. We've got a whole bunch of calls on the line that are on hold. So, we're going to start picking them up one by one quickly as we can. And we're going to go to the first call right now. Sapne salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, my name is Raj. And first of all, thank you for bringing such a nice show to the public. And my question is, how do you protect intellectual property in your startup?
By filing patents.
Okay, any other way?
That is the best way in terms of intellectual property. Trademarks, copyrights are other things, but these are sort of catch-all answers for a question which is very wide. How do you protect intellectual property? I think one of the things you have to do is you have to put in processes in place in the company that will protect that property and make sure that it doesn't end up in the public domain.
Also, in addition to protecting it, you want to actually develop it further, because the best protection is actually doing something with it and doing it fast and doing it before other people can do it and doing it better, so that it's not just the patent that's protecting you, but the actual application and the fact that your customers need your product badly.
Very well said. I agree with that wholeheartedly, Dilip. Very well said.
And if your technology is on the is in the public domain and it is protected by the patents and copyrights, etc., still further you need some protection, because there is a chance that your technology gets copied, at least in part. So
yes, you definitely need to protect it.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right,
okay.
Great. Thank you for calling. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Sapne Salamat, this is Aman. I have a question.
Yes, Aman.
Like, I want to ask, like, we're talking about, like, getting the venture funding and stuff like that and starting a company. So, like, I have a question, like, if someone has an idea and, like, to get the funding and all, you have to have contacts and you have to have story and all that. Like, how can you give the idea to, like big corporations, like Google and all, and have them take a look at it, or give it to some small company and have them take a look at it? Like, is it possible, and how to go about it?
Why would you want to give your idea to a big company first and foremost? If you want to build a business around it, the first thing you want to do is you want to build a product around it. If you're looking for validation, go talk to people that are in the space that will give you validation.
No, because as an engineer, and like, if you are like having 10 years, 15 years, because getting a funding and starting, you need a lot of help, right? So you want to, I want to make a million. I don't want to make 100 million. So I go at the first step and give the idea and see, like, if someone else can help and, like, take the bigger share, but help and take it to the next level. So is it possible to give the ideas to startups or a big corporation and have them take a look at it?
They will happily
look. And
then you have a
smaller share, but...
No, they will happily look at your ideas, and if they like it, they will happily do it as well. But what they will not do is give you any share in the idea. So I would very humbly respond to that by saying that if you're looking to make $1 million and you're happy with that, go find a good startup, work for them, and hopefully your stock options will get you to that financial goal.
So I agree. I think there are two different things you're asking, right? First is if you want to kind of share your ideas with people, whenever you share your ideas with people, assume that you've publicly disclosed it. And second is, if you really want to get investment from a venture capitalist, you don't want to be looking at a small idea. Like, you have a big target. Yeah. And only then it makes sense for a lot of other people to put money behind it.
Great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure.
Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hello?
Yes, Sapna Salamat.
Sapna Salamat, this is Mradul here.
Yes, Mradul, do you have a question?
Yeah.
Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
You know, Mradul, can you please turn your radio down?
Yes, Sapna.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So, we have been running an internet-based services business, and we put quite a bit of our own money.
Excellent.
And now we are at a point where, for last couple of months, we are at the break-even. So we are not losing money.
Excellent. Spectacular.
Yeah. I guess now initially we were not ready to go to VC because we do not have a lot of answer by ourselves, but I think we are ready now. And we are looking for advisors. So how do you go about it? Where do you find advisor who can advise us in this process? You know, it's like I call, hey, Roy, do you want to be my advisor? Is that the way to go? Or
I can't say that I am willing to be, and I can't say that I'm not willing to be. I do look at this stuff, and we do get a lot of reach outs. But the good news is, this is exactly what you need to do. You get in touch with us and say, listen, this is what I'm doing, and see if we can direct you to somebody that's more interested in looking at this space. So it might be something, it's a space that I work with, might be a space that Dilip works in, it might be a space that somebody else that's been on the show or somebody else that I know works with, where I will happily say that, you know, go talk to Mridul. Mridul has an idea, so look at this. And at that point, Mridul has to go and do his best sales job to make the other person want to get involved and help you out.
Hey, Mridul, I want to tell you, great sales job and, you know, using the call-in line to get Rohit to be an advisor. Good job.
All right. So, Rohit, the best way to contact you is to go to your website and send you an email? Or?
Yes, the show has a website at rohit.com/radio. That is okay. rohit.com/radio. And we can also be reached at radio@rohit.com. Go ahead and reach out that way, and we'll take it to the next level.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
That.
Thank you. Sure. Sapna Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, good morning. Rohit, this is Vasu.
Yes, Vasu. Sapna Salamat, my friend. Quick question. We're running out of time here.
Yeah, Sapna Salamat, I think I was trying to ask the same question, similar question of how do you go about finding that way before you even go and look for the VCs?
Absolutely. It's a must thing, and I'll say it again, and I've said this on almost every show, not every show, but in a lot of other shows in the past, that you have to get an advisor. We have built an ecosystem here, and that's what we are trying to do. Radio@rohit.com. I connected a lady who connected with me yesterday or the day before that, and what she wanted was introduction to an IP attorney, and I just introduced her yesterday to an IP attorney. As we mentioned earlier, this is non-commercial.
I'm not making money out of this. I'm not looking to make money out of this. This is helping the next generation of entrepreneur. And hopefully this attorney that I put this lady, what's her name? Millie. Millie, if you're listening, call in and validate what I'm saying. I've never met Millie. And so, yeah. So, and this attorney will meet with her, look at her IP issues. And if I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm out of the picture at this point. I just made the connections.
All right. Thanks for
that. Okay. Thank you for calling. All right, folks. We're running out of time here, but I wanted to mention a couple of things. This show is non-commercial, so we have a couple of sponsors. We certainly appreciate it if you could support our sponsors. Tax time is coming upon us. If you're enjoying the show, please go ahead and reach out to Venu Prashar.
I just wanted to add a plug for Venu. She was also our accountant at CashEdge.
Okay, so you've used person. Okay, so you've worked with her in the past. Okay, yes. Very good. See, Venu, this works. So good people do get validated. It's interesting how paths cross in the valley time and again, you know. Like we were talking earlier about how we met first, gosh, 10, 12 years ago, and here we're sitting again talking about stuff. So anyway, folks, if you're really enjoying the show, please do us a couple of favors. Tell your friends about it so your friends can benefit from it, because we really want to see the next generation of entrepreneurs succeed. Do put out an email to your friends in social networks and put out something on your status message. We do put podcasts of the show up on our website at ruhit.com/radio. And you can reach us that way and sort of look at what else is going on. Most importantly, folks, we're also doing this experiment where we're building the startup ecosystem. So we also get a lot of folks that are looking for co-founders. So if you have any interest in doing a startup, getting involved with an early stage startup, send us an email. Whether you're a technical guy or a marketing person or a biz dev person or a salesperson, we don't care. So anyways, would certainly appreciate it. Ruhit.com/radio. Dilip, it's been great having you. I know as we're running out of time, quickly, quick questions, anything you'd like to add?
Actually, I just wanted to ask you a question, though. This has been a phenomenal experience sitting the other side. But, you know, you are very unusual in, from an experience standpoint. You're both working on internet startups and you're a day trader. How do those things
fit together? Day trader, I used to be a day trader. I tried that briefly and I found I was not very good at it. I lost a lot of money and I said, you know what? I think I'm good at doing internet startups, and that's what I'm going to go back to doing. So that is my primary bread and butter, and that's where I'm trying to make a living.
Awesome.
Well, great. So that was Dilip Venkatachari. Dilip, I have one other question for you before I let you go this evening. What can you do for my listeners?
I'd be glad to help. If anyone has any ideas or questions that they want to get advice on, feel free to pass them along through Rohit. And I'll be glad to help connect folks up and help as possible.
Great. Well, we certainly appreciate you having been on the show today, Dilip. Dilip is, again, as you mentioned, an HBS guy, done 3 startups, worked for different companies. And we are now also, I want to mention that we are also looking for volunteers. As we mentioned earlier, the show is built around helping entrepreneurs. So if there's folks out there that have some time and would like to help out, we need help with, getting guests to come on. We need help with a bunch of different activities. And you can reach us on the web at ruhit.com/radio. You can reach us on email at radio@ruhit.com. You can reach us on phone at 408-469-4192. And we certainly hope you guys will all succeed in doing what you're doing. So, sapne salamat, my friends.
Satgur ki seva safal hai.
गुरु प्यारी साध संगत जी, वाहेगुरु जी का खालसा, वाहेगुरु जी की फतेह। होला महला दी खुशी विच